Blog Talk Amen. Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy court with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, January the 8th, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am blessed to be joined by some of the anointed servant leaders from here at Spirit Alive in the persons of, hallelujah, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, and his beautiful wife, Pastor Vanessa Carver. So on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive, we would like to welcome you to this morning service. And at this time, we are going to open our service with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, hallelujah, just praising you for yet another day. Lord, we thank you that we have been given the opportunity to come out and worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, we just pray your blessings upon our worship service. And we pray that every listener, saved and unsaved around this world, will hear something that will truly bless their souls. Father God, pour into us as we pour into your people. May we decrease, Father, so that you might increase, because you declared in your word, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. It is in your holy and righteous name I do pray it all. Let the church of God say amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
God, yes, you did, you gave it. Yes, you did, you gave it. Yes, you did, you shed it. Yes, you did, you gave it.
Everywhere I go, and everywhere I've been, they ask about the power I've been walking in. And what is being said? And why I'm not afraid, and why my mind is made up, and why it just won't stay. Oh, cause you did, you gave it.
Your everlasting,
you gave to me.
Your everlasting,
oh, way back then you thought of me. Yes, you did, you gave it.
Your
strength in my feet, banner in the wall, anchor in the ocean, shelter in the storm. Sacrifice and the victory you gave.
Lord,
I gotta praise you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is now time for our meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask our most beloved and highly esteemed mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So now, my brothers and sisters, would you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. Again, I am so pleased to be here, and I love each and every one of you around the world, no matter how far or how near you are to me. This morning's meditational reading is entitled, Thanksgiving Can Raise the Dead. We'll be looking at John 11, 41 through 42. It reads thusly, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. After Jesus said these words, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had been dead for 4 days came out of the tomb. Verses 43 and 44. This is one of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus raised him to life. Would you agree that death is indeed an extreme problem? Having no money in the bank, being sick and losing your job, bad as they are not as bad as being dead. But what I want you to see is this. Excuse me. If Jesus, in the most extreme of problems, shows us that the solution is still, Father, I thank you, then how much more should we thank God in the midst of the less serious problems we face? If Thanksgiving can raise the dead, then let us give thanks in spite of the negative circumstances. We will see victory. Unfortunately, we tend to do the opposite, murmur and complain. But murmuring and complaining only magnifies the problem. Thanksgiving, on the other hand, is the language of faith that pleases God. I am not saying that we give thanks for the problems we have. No, we thank God that he is our answer and that he has already given every blessing to us. You can read that in Ephesians 1 and 3. But Pastor, I have so little. What have I to do? My friends, thank God for the little you have, and it will multiply. Jesus thanked his Father for the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, a little boy's lunch, and they were multiplied to feed more than 5,000 people with 12 baskets full of leftovers. Read that in John 6, 8 through 13. And notice that when the Holy Spirit talked about the events again, he specifically mentioned the Lord giving thanks, where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. You can read that in John 6:23. The Holy Spirit seemed to be more pleased with the act of giving thanks than the miracle of multiplication or the 12 baskets full of leftovers. Beloved, the more you thank God, the more you please him. What little you have will be multiplied, and whatever is dead in your life will be raised to life. May the Lord add favor and blessings to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, Thanksgiving is the language of faith which pleases God. and causes miracles to manifest in your life. Amen and glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah and glory to God.
Glory
it is now
God.
Prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time that we just look forward to because it's a time when we just stop everything. Hallelujah. And we go to the Lord and we sit in his face. And we lift up our petitions, our supplications, our prayers, our concerns to our Heavenly Father. And when we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we need you to know and understand that, one, we're going to pray until something happens because we pray expecting God to move. We pray believing and trusting that God can do and will do everything that he says he can and he will do. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you just still your spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Place all your focus on the one that whom we adore as we go to his throne of grace with God's anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into prayer to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. For the sake of others this morning. Praise God. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you humbly, and we come, many of us come with heavy hearts this morning due to the suffering, the pain, the agony, the tragedies, and all of these things that have been taking place and are taking place right now throughout the world. We come to you, Lord, thanking you for who you are. We come to you, Lord, giving you reverence and praise and thanksgiving.
Yes.
We give you glory and honor this morning. We thank you for who you are, who you continue to be for us, your people. We thank you for waking us up this morning. And Lord, we don't take it lightly because many didn't wake up this morning. But we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus, asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, that you would touch, that you would heal, that you would deliver and set free those that are being held captive. We pray for their freedom. We pray, Lord, that you will everywhere this morning, those that are shut in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are displaced this morning due to flooding and other natural conditions, as well as crime, we lift them up to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you can make a difference. Not only can you, but you will. So we're putting our trust in you this morning, knowing, hallelujah, that you will do what you said you will do. We pray, Lord, for those war-torn victims. We pray for those that are without housing, hallelujah, without electricity, gas, without water, and even those that have water, many of them are, many of the waters are contaminated, and so we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way where there is lack. We pray, Lord, that you will make sure that there is plenty.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for blessing us. And some of us have not been affected by the storms, by the floods.
Lord, we thank you.
Things like that, Lord. But we thank you for your hand of protection upon us, and we thank you for answered prayer.
Yes, Lord.
But many did not escape it. So, Lord, we're asking that you would send that many will be able to go and help them. And we thank you even for what we were able to do yesterday, to go out and feed the homeless.
Thank you.
Where there are some of them, their tents had blown away. Some of them only had a place on the ground to lie down on.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that you would continue to help us to go out and make a difference and touch them.
Yes.
Even in their conditions, that they will feel your presence.
Yes.
They will feel your love.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That they will be warm. They will be fed. They will be sheltered. We ask, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would continue to send help. Not only the basic needs, but also that your word will go forth and make even a greater impact in the name of Jesus, that they can know that with you, God, they can have everything, that every need will be met through you, because you are everything to all of us. And Father God, we just pray that you will go into the hospitals. Many are afflicted now due to the weather conditions, and they're affected by viruses, colds, flu, pneumonia. We ask, Lord, that you would heal in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
in Jesus'
Lord.
Name, that you would protect the healthcare workers all over, in Jesus' name, that are caring for all of these people. We just pray that you would move, that you would step in the war situations, that you would straighten out things in the political arena. We know that you are great and mighty God. You do great and mighty things.
Yes.
So we're looking to you this morning in the behalf of others. We lift up those that are grieving this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort.
Touch, Jesus. Touch.
That you would touch.
Yes.
That you would heal.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Touch,
that you would help them in this hour to do what they need to do. In the name of
Lord.
Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Heal the hurts.
Yes.
Oh, God, do it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Have your way, God. Strengthen the families in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, do it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for those that were victims that have been rescued from human trafficking on this week in many areas. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank
Lord.
You for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That the law enforcement has been even more on target in these situations. And we thank you for that, God.
Yes.
We thank you for what you're doing in our own lives. We thank you for using us for your will. Hallelujah. We thank you for making ways when it seems like there isn't a way. We thank you for being our provider, making provision in areas, Lord, hallelujah, where it seemed possible. We thank you. We thank you that we can depend upon you, Lord. We thank you for giving us not only what we need, but more than enough. That we can go out and be a blessing. We thank you, Lord, that we can give, hallelujah, because you have given to us.
Yes.
We thank you for it, God. We thank you and we praise you this morning. Hallelujah. We lift up any among us that are sick today. We lift up Minister Tina. We ask, Lord, that you would move, that you would touch, that you would heal in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
we know that nothing is too hard for you. So we speak healing right now.
Yes, Lord God.
Because according to your word, she is already healed. But we pray, Lord, for the manifestations to come forth right now. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
that whatever
Lord.
It is ailing her, hallelujah, that it's done and over with.
Yes,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes,
we thank
Jesus.
You. We
yes,
thank you
Lord.
For it. We thank you for who you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks.
Right now.
Raise the dead.
If there's any other any you, others Jesus. That are sick among us, we ask, Lord, that you would touch anybody that's listening in, hallelujah, that need a healing this morning. Hallelujah. Those that are in pain, we pray that you would touch. In the name of Jesus. Where there is pain, we pray that there won't be any pain. We say, pain, go in the name of Jesus right now. And we thank you for it. We thank you. And any other needs, hallelujah, that need to be met, we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. That whatever the needs are, that you would meet those needs in Jesus' name. We pray that you would give your people, that you would increase their faith, that many will become believers in this new year, that people will just begin to trust you, hallelujah, for what you have already done and for what we already know that you can do. And we thank you for it. We lift up every church, every ministry that's listening in and connected to Spirit Alive Ministries. We lift up Spirit Alive Ministries. We lift up the founder.
Thank you, Jesus.
This morning, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to do what you do.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord,
and that's to bless your people globally. And
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for that, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we all have need of you. Touch, Lord, across the nation, across the world, in the name of Jesus, those that don't know you yet in the pardoning of their sins. We pray that you will send forth more laborers.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That more people will desire, hallelujah, to save souls. Hallelujah. To reach your people where they are, God, in the name of Jesus, and help them and teach them. In the name of Jesus, and continue to be with them and encourage them and help them to get stronger in you, Christ Jesus. That as they go forth in life, that others will be touched as well. And that there will be a great harvest, hallelujah, even in this new year, a greater harvest than ever before. And we thank you. We praise you this morning in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen.
Amen. cold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you in the gate, but if you're asking, he'll give you that life. Can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pray to for all of my days earned. Tell him to leave, stop reading, yeah.
Hallelujah and glory to God, saints. It is now time for this morning's message. So I'm going to ask that you retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so. And today we are going to be looking, we're going to be going back to the book of Acts, chapter 16. And today we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 40. But before I begin, first giving honor to God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to you, God's elect. Now, due to the time constraints, the length, and the fact that Acts 16, 12 through 40 is such a familiar scripture, I am going to ask that you simply read along with me as I walk you through this passage. But before I begin, I must always start with a word of prayer. So most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne once again, asking that you empty me of self so that only you might be glorified. Only you, hallelujah, will be lifted up. Father God, I pray that this message would empower, instruct, impact, and equip your saints, Lord. And if someone doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that they hear something today that will cause them to change their eternal address. It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, as many of you know, last week we didn't spend time sharing on how we could be the best that we could be in 2023, nor did we spend any time on New Year's resolutions or on all of the great and wonderful new things that God is planning to do. But instead, I ask each of us to examine ourselves, to ensure that in everything that we say and in everything that we do, we display the marks of being a true follower of Christ. And the reason that having the marks of a true follower of Christ is so important is because we as Christians have been called to share the good news of heaven. Now, family, hear me and hear me clearly. Nobody in this world will ever believe our good news about heaven if we are living, sounding, and looking like the devil. Okay? Now, in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, we are told that God sent angels to give a message to some Jewish shepherds. The message went like this. I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David has been born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, you might ask yourself, why was that good news to these blue-collar, hard-working men who were taking care of other folks' livestock? Why was this such good news to them? Well, for one thing, this was something that all Jews had been waiting hundreds of years for. They were hoping that God's Messiah would one day come and save them. God was finally sending them a Savior, a deliverer, a preserver who would restore them to God's favor. So today we're going to pick up the story some 20 years later in the book of Acts, where we find the followers of Jesus are seriously engaged in sharing this same good news with everyone that they could. Now, in this passage, we see that they are telling both Jews and Gentiles that God has sent his Messiah to this earth, and that everyone who puts their trust in him can be forgiven of sin and delivered from the power of the devil. The good news that they shared was that God loves people and he wants to help them. And it's the same good news message that we believe today. We all need a Savior who can remove the load of sin we carry around and give us true freedom. And that leads us to the main point of today's message, which is all who receives God's message of forgiveness should help share it with others. It's just that simple. But as always, I am big on the application of God's word. So today I would like to share with everyone why our sharing is so important and how we should go about doing that. So today we're going to look at four effects of sharing the good news of heaven in the hopes that it will help us all to share it more frequently and more effectively. The first point I would like to make is found in Acts 16, 12 through 15. And that is that sharing the good news of heaven results in changed lives. Let's look at the word, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and leading the city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. The sharing of the good news of heaven brings about changed lives. Now, we don't find anything negative about this woman, Lydia, that would require major life change. We don't read about her being involved in evil or immorality or dishonest behavior of any kind. In fact, verse 14 says she was a worshiper of God. In other words, she had apparently adopted the Jewish God as the one true God whom she worshiped and she aligned her life with. However, Paul's message gave her the rest of the story. You remember Walter Cronkite, and now for the rest of the story. And that was the promised Messiah had come and provided everything that was needed for people to know God and be in good favor with him. But you see, it wasn't enough for her just to believe in God. You see, she needed to believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who had taken her sins in his own body on the cross when he died on her behalf. You see, it was not enough for her to be a good person who followed good moral guidelines from the Bible, because she would still be lost without Jesus. So after Lydia heard the good news about Jesus, verse 14 says the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, this is an awesome thing that happens when God opens people's hearts. It's something that I pray for before this and every other message. It's always my prayer that every person here would have their heart opened and that they would respond to the good news about Jesus. But I'm also here to tell you that I sure can't make that happen, because that can only come from God. You see, he has to stir up something within us that shows us how much we need him. Trust and believe. I am absolutely nothing. But I sure hope that you will hear this word and ask the Lord to open your heart to it. You see, Lydia listened to the Lord and received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She became a changed person after that. So how can we know that? Well, I can know it and you can know it, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Mm. The old has gone and the new has come. I know she became a new person after believing on Jesus, because it also happened to me. When I first believed on Jesus, you know, I prayed to God when I was about 7 or 8, because my mother believed in having Bible study in the house all the time. So one time I just, you know, I really got serious, thanks to God. I was really serious. And I asked God to forgive me of all the bad things that I had done and to take me to heaven with him when the time came. Now, I would really love to sit here and tell you all that I became an absolute perfect child after that, but I would be wrong as two left shoes, because I would be lying. However, God did put something in the inside of me, and it began to change me. Now, trust me, I didn't always cooperate with what he was trying to do in my life. In fact, there was times that I completely ignored him and tried to do what I wanted to do. But over anyone within the sound of my voice this morning, that's something that I would not recommend you doing. Okay, amen. You see,
amen.
I was blessed. I have been blessed to have hundreds, if not thousands, of reminders and opportunities to make things right with God and to keep growing stronger in him. I was in Christ, and Christ was in me, changing me on the inside. And as I look back, I can see the truth of what Paul later wrote to Lydia and the church at Philippi. And when he writes in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I am quite confident that the one who began a good work in you will go on completing it until the day of Jesus Christ comes. You see, we need to understand something. My life, your life is continually being changed for the better. And if you don't feel like that right now, I came to tell you that it can. But I'm not trying to convince you that your life will become easier or that all of your problems will go away when you receive the good news about Jesus. In fact, in some cases, people who follow Jesus face more problems than they did before. But the good news is that they no longer have to face those problems alone. You see, Jesus is with them, and those who follow Jesus are always close behind him. So now I want to share with you briefly some of the problems. You see, second point can be found in Acts 16 through 24. You know that sharing the good news can bring you some trouble. Let's look at what the Word of God says. Once, when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, she kept this up for many days. Finally, she irked Paul's spirit. Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. And when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Now the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Wow.
Amen.
Now, have you ever wondered why the demon-possessed woman bothered Paul so much? Because on face value, it sounded like she was helping them spread the gospel. However, Paul's spirit, and some Bible scholars point out that her message may not have been exactly what we think it was. See, when she said, "These men are servants of the Most High God, or who are telling you the way to be saved," there is a small problem with the phrase "away." In the Greek, the indefinite article "the" is not there. Normally, when there is no definite article in front of a noun, translators use an indefinite article like "a." So in essence, this is one of those grammar rules that can go either way, depending on the context. But what many scholars believe this woman was saying is, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you a way to be saved." So no wonder Paul grew tired of this lady. Paul knew that Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Therefore, this woman keeping up with this bothered Paul. In essence, the demon inside of her was introducing Paul to the people of Philippi. Now, saints of God, tell me, if you are a child of God, oh, why would you need a demonic introduction? On top of that, the message of Jesus was being announced as one of many ways to be saved. Mm-hmm. And up on this, Paul turned around and he had to cast that demon out of her, not simply out of annoyance, but most likely to prevent the demonic association and the deception that was warping the truth of the gospel. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, saints of God, needless to say, Paul and Silas paid dearly for standing up for the gospel. They were falsely accused. They were severely beaten and thrown into prison with their feet fastened in stocks. Now, maybe you've never been in a situation like this, but you probably had your share of problems. Even as a Christ follower, you may have had people turn on you, hurt you, and betray you. Or maybe one bad thing after another just keeps happening to you. You might face family problems, money problems, health problems, or an array of any other types of problems. So maybe you can relate to some of these people. But did it ever occur to you that the very reason that some of these problems keep popping up in your life is because the enemy, old flathead Satan, knows what a threat you will be to him if you stay focused on Jesus and sharing that good news with others? Hallelujah. Because if there was ever a time, for Paul and Silas to throw themselves a big old pity party, it would have been right about now. I could just, you know, if they wanted to throw a pity party, they could have said, God, you led us to preach the gospel here in this miserable city. Now look what happened. Don't you care about us? What did we do to deserve this painful beating, having to sit in this cold, dark prison? Lord, why me? However, this is not the attitude that we found in Paul and Silas. Because what were they doing inside of the prison? Honey, they were singing songs to God. They were telling him how thankful they were for his grace and for the chance to share the good news with others. Somehow, they kept their focus on the Lord during that crisis. Now, I can only imagine what the other prisoners were thinking. We know they heard them because verse 25 says the other prisoners were listening to them. Now that I've shared a little bit with you about the problems, I want us to look at how God can turn our problems around and use them for our good, okay? Because sharing the good news results in freedom. Let's look at Acts 16:25-34. The word of God goes on to say, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, I love it when God does it suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had all escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." When they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in his house, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had become to believe in God, he and his whole family. Says God, you've often heard me say, when the going gets tough, the tough starts praising. Because faith always shines brightest at midnight. See, regardless of the opposition that comes when we share the good news, I came to tell somebody it's always going to be worth it. So why is sharing the good news about Jesus worth all the opposition that comes with it? It's worth it because it brings freedom. It brings freedom to those who hear it, and it brings freedom to those who share it. You see, and it's that way because, see, it's not called the good news of convenience or the good news of leisure. No, it is called the good news about Jesus, the one who suffered, the one who was humiliated, abused, and killed so that we could come close to God and find freedom in him. Oh, hallelujah. It is indeed good news, but it is not always easy news. You see, the good news is somewhat of a paradox. It is both binding and liberating. It is both simple and profound. It brings great joy, but it can also bring deep sorrow. It is a source of great comfort and great suffering. It is the most powerful message in the entire world, but it is proclaimed in the weakness of our humanity and our humility. So, what do we mean when we say the good news about Jesus brings freedom? Well, our text tells us that the chains of Paul and the prisoners came loose. They were no longer bound. However, that's not the freedom I want to concentrate on right now. That's not the one I'm talking about. See, because Paul's chains had come loose long before his shackles fell off. You see, Paul's chains of pride, selfishness, anger, hatred had all fallen off years earlier when he was stopped by Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Amen. Amen.
Both Paul and Silas had believed the good news about Jesus and had put their trust in him. That is why they were free, hallelujah, free to sing songs and worship God after being beaten and put in jail. Kind of makes me have a flashback to the scene of Jesus being asleep in the boat while the tempest was tossing and turning. And Jesus laid there asleep. Well, because Paul and Silas trusted in the Lord, they had been beaten. They had been put in a jail inside of a jail. Y'all don't hear me. Okay. It's bad enough to be put in jail, but to be put in a jail inside of a jail, kind of like solitary confinement, you know, that's something else. But the freedom that was given on this night, it was given to the Philippian jailer and his household. This man was ready to take his own life because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul stopped him with some good news. He said, hey, we're all here. You don't have to kill yourself. Because according to Roman law, he would have been put to death if the prisoners had escaped on his watch. Amen. So the jailer was giving his life back. And then he asked about the good news. What do I need to do to be saved? Luke sums up the answer in one short sentence. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul and Silas shared the good news with him and with everyone else who lived in his house. Verse 34 shows us the effect of the good news when it is received. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. he and his whole family. So this morning I ask you, could you use a little help in your life? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you use a little joy in your life? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need peace in your life? Then just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we share the good news about Jesus with others, they too can find that much needed freedom. Mm-hmm. See, they find that freedom from sin, freedom from hate, freedom from addictions, freedom to be, they have the freedom to be who God created them to be. They can find true peace and joy because they have entered into an eternal relationship with their Creator. Well, if Paul and Silas were singing before, saints of God's family, they must have been dancing and shouting on the tabletops by now. But before we bring this to a close, we need to take another look at how they got to that point. You see, it appears they could have avoided the beating and jail time altogether if they would have just used their heads. Ha! But you see, God had other plans. So it was a good thing they were trusting his heart more than their own minds. Because, saints, this final point I want to share with us to you today is that sharing the good news will require personal sacrifice. Let's look at verses 35 through 40. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. In other words, they were shocked, appalled, dismayed, huh? So they came to appease them. They escorted them from prison, requesting them to leave the city. And after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, do you think that they left the city right away? Nope. They went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. John the Baptist said this of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. The good news about Jesus requires our investment, our priority, our energy, our resources, and everything else that we have to offer. There may be times when our personal safety may be jeopardized in order for the good news to be shared with the right people. God knew the heart of the jailer and his family. He had been preparing him for this moment. Now, because Paul and Silas were willing to lay aside their self-concern and suffer without appealing to their Roman citizenship before their beating and imprisonment, the jailer and his entire household was saved. Now, what if Paul had decided to claim his rights as a Roman citizen before they were beaten and imprisoned? No doubt they would have avoided the suffering because it was against Roman law to flog a Roman citizen, even if he was a criminal. However, because Paul was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, he and Silas were able to lead the Philippian jailer and his family to the Lord. They had to suffer in order to do it, but God knew what needed to happen in order to reach this man and his family. You see, Amen. It may cost us something to be able to share the gospel effectively with others. Are you willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and trust God in the midst of dangerous or difficult situations? Is it possible in some situations to miss God's will and plan because we refuse to give up our own rights and demand to have our own way? Someone may have an opportunity to hear the gospel as a result of our suffering. Can we trust God even in the painful, humiliating situations? Well, I believe that we can. If we commit ourselves to listening to the Holy Spirit and his purpose, and we follow his lead.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 9:22-23, Paul writes, to the weak I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some.
Amen.
I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessing. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. Not for the sake of self, not for his claim to fame, not to be seen as a super Christian, but he did it all for the sake of the gospel. The Greek word for gospel, euangelion, means good news. When used in the Bible, it refers specifically to the good news about Jesus. You see, Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for us so that we could know God. Paul was willing to sacrifice any and everything for the sake of the good news about Jesus so that others might know God. Family, when we go out into the world, our mission is to proclaim that any and everything can be changed in Jesus' name. We must tell them that Jesus died so that we might all have the gift of everlasting life. We must be willing to do what we need to do in order to tell others that heaven can belong to them too. Okay?
Yes.
God is calling us to a place of commitment today. He wants us to become willing to do whatever it takes to share the good news about Jesus with others. We may suffer along the way. Yeah. We may face opposition, and we might even get discouraged sometimes. However, if we commit ourselves to God, there will be times when we can join heaven in the celebration because one more person, has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and has been forgiven and saved. The Word of God says that the angels rejoice when just one soul comes to the Lord. And this is what it's all about. This is what makes it all worth it. And one of these days, we will stand before Jesus and we will hear him say, well done. You really did a good job of getting my good news out to others. Baby, you really nailed that thing. Way to go. Now, I prepared a special place for you. Come on in here with me. You will never know another day of pain. You will never know another day of suffering, rejection, or despair. All you're going to know from now on is my joy. You did it. I was with you every step of the way. And you may enter on into my joy. Now, maybe you needed to hear some good news today. You may have heard it before, but maybe you really just needed to hear it again. Perhaps you struggle with it. You know, the way you struggle with a used car salesman. Sometimes we hear the good news about Jesus and it just seems too good to be true. Or sometimes it might seem to some like it's just a lame sales pitch. But let me tell you something. Let me admonish you today. Whatever barriers you need to climb, you better get over them. Because Jesus is the answer that you're looking for. He is the good news you've been waiting to hear. Hallelujah. I hope that today you will have let the Lord open your heart and you will have received this message of sharing the good news with everyone that you can. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. At this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our intercessor and our prophet and pastor, Pastor Vanessa Carver, to come in. And I would like for her to seal this message with prayer. And then I'm going to ask that Apostle Zeta Flowers will return front and center, and she will lead all of you in an invitation to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And that will be followed by our very own Bishop Lester Carver, who I'm sure indeed has a word for our brothers today. So, Pastor Vanessa, you have our undivided attention, beloved.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. Thank you, Lord, today for this great message that we heard from you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for honoring the vessel that poured into us so that we can pour into others. I thank you, Lord, today for this word being sealed because of what you have spoken to us and through us from her imparting this word to us. I thank you, Lord, for courage, for strength, for the examples in the scriptures that she so diligently laid out to us to understand. Lord, you're speaking to us as the body, but I also believe you're speaking to us individually, and you will continue to speak to us as this word. It will penetrate our hearts and our minds, whatever barriers that we may face. Maybe it's lack of trust. Maybe it's a lack of courage. Maybe it's a lack of direction. Maybe it's a lack of identity. But as we look at the scriptures, I thank you, Father God, today that you specifically are speaking to us as a people, but to us individually about spreading your gospel and being able to remember and be sensitive to those lost all around us. I thank you, Lord, today that whatever it may take, that we learn to surrender to you, Lord, first in word and deed. And I thank you for this word being sealed, that it penetrates every area in our soul, our will, our mind, and emotions, so that it can produce much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta, who is indeed the founding pastor of All Nations Christian Fellowship in Oakland, California. Right now, she is going to come, as she has done so many times before, and she is going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus. She is not inviting you to join a church, but she will invite you into an up-close, personal, loving relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Apostle Zeta?
Okay. Yes, I'm on. Praise God. What a beautiful message that has gone forth again on this Sunday. Touching message, a message of conviction. Just a wonderful message. Praise God. Allowing us to realize and know that we need to die to self in order that others may live. Praise God. God bless you. We thank God for the new converts of today. You have heard the word. The word has gone out. And the word, the Bible says that the word does not come back void. But it does go out and does what it's sent out to do. Praise God. So we thank God that you were touched today, that you were willing to turn your lives over to Christ. And I'm just going to share what you need to do in order to accept them in your lives.
Amen.
We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. But we thank God that there was a way for us to be saved when Jesus gave his life. When the Father gave his only Son, and that Son gave his life for us, that we could live with him through eternity. Praise God. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's for everyone. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. If you have accepted the fact that you are a sinner, that on this day you would like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so. I'm going to lead you into a prayer. Praise God. Father God, I come to you knowing that I am a sinner, but I'm coming to you asking for your forgiveness of all of my sins and my unrighteousness. I desire on this day to be saved. And any of you that have confessed that with your mouth, you are saved. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. You're accepted by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we thank you. I mean, we thank God for you. And
yes,
we pray for you that the Lord will open up a place for you to learn more about him, that you will be with among true believers. Hallelujah. Teaching the true word of God so that you may learn more about him. Hallelujah. And have a relationship with Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. In Jesus'
yes
name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle Zeta. I just thank you. Now I'm going to ask Bishop Lester to come forth, because the Lord has really been pressing in on me to have a word, a special word to our brothers from our brother. So at this time, I'm going to ask Bishop Lester to come forth and let the Lord use him in his own special way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. And this morning, there was something on my mind as it pertains to the men of God, to remind each and every one of you that you have been chosen by God as a son of God. And we are God's elect.
Yeah.
That is a special position that we have. Now, in our walk with God, it's important for us to be thankful and know that God hears us. And to understand that the reason God hears us is because he is the one who chose us. He is the one who elected us to be his sons. And to understand that, that position takes us to another level with God, takes us to a higher level with God. So I want to look at one passage of scripture, Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, where it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And we have to understand that being a joint heir with Christ in the promises of God, being a son of God, has elevated us from the level of a servant to that of a son. And to understand that as a son of God, you are a chosen one. You've been chosen to share in the sufferings of Christ, but you've also been chosen to share in the glory of Christ. Now, you might ask, how does that apply to me as a man specifically? Well, specifically as a man, just as we were chosen, we have chosen wives. We, when we are walking in our authority and in our place and we choose a wife, we are walking into a promise of God that says that he who has found a wife has found a good thing. That means we are looking for that good thing, that helpmeet, the one who can help us fulfill God's call upon our life. And when we understand the privilege of being chosen by God, then we should take very good care in choosing our spouse, in choosing the woman that we elect to hold our name and to guide our household and to be there as the one who helps us establish the family that God has assigned us to in the earth. So understand how important you are to God. Understand that you are no longer a servant of God, but God has chosen you to be a son. Understanding that not only are you a son of God, but you are an heir of God and a joint heir with God's son, Jesus Christ. So as a joint heir, God is placed upon you all that is a part of this more than abundant life, spiritually through the power of the Holy Spirit, mentally through the knowledge of his word, emotionally by having that fruit of the Spirit guiding you in your life so that the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness, patience, the faithfulness, and the self-control help to define who you are. And then physically, to know that God is going to give you that wisdom to strengthen your bodies, to strengthen your hands, to give you the ability to protect and defend and build. And then lastly, financially, so that you can provide for your family, for your household, for the kingdom, and all those that God would have you to pour into, so that the men of God can know that we have been chosen, know that we are God's elect, know that we are sons of God, and then we are there to cover and provide and protect those that we have chosen as our wives, who will help us produce our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and allow us to be fruitful in the earth. So I just want to share this word with you today and encourage you to walk boldly into what God has for you and stand before God not as a servant, but as a son of God. Apostle Cook, that is the word
Amen.
For the day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, my brothers, you have heard a word from the Godly Man's Corner. Hallelujah. Don't say that Apostle Cook ain't never did nothing for you. Hallelujah. I brought you a godly man to tell you how to be a godly man. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if any of you are sitting in our, we do have others sitting in our sanctuary this morning. If you would like to have a word, you would like to touch and agree, ask for prayer, if you kindly press your one on your keypad, that will let me know that you are raising your hand and you are ready to become a part of this worship service. Hallelujah. But I'm so grateful for everything that we have heard here this morning. The reading was absolutely beautiful and it fit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The prayers that went up were phenomenal. I want to thank you for the Godly Man's Corner from our bishop. And even though our little sister, Minister Tina, is here as she faithfully is, we're just praying that the Lord restores her quickly and that she will be able to, we can hear her being her exuberant, wonderful self very quickly again. So we just want to praise God for that. Hallelujah. Well, if there's nothing else, hallelujah. Apostle Zeta, there are people from the Bay Area that are listening, so perhaps you would like to, if there's any information that you would like to pass on concerning the McGees or anything, ma'am, please take a moment and you can do so at this time.
Yes, I will. Some of you already know that Minister Gladys's sister Margaret passed away about almost a week ago now, and arrangements have been made for her as a couple of days ago that they will have a service for her on January the 20th, which is a Friday, at 11 a.m. I don't have the address as yet of the church, but the services are being arranged by Thompson's Funeral Home in the city of Oakland. So amen. I will have the service location probably today or tomorrow. But
okay, well,
also continue to lift the family up in prayer. Also her daughter, their daughter is was taken to the hospital a couple of nights ago, having difficulty breathing, I think, and also her blood sugar level was very high. So continue to pray for them.
Amen.
So that's
amen.
Here this
oh, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Okay. I just didn't want to cut you off. Amen. Well,
that's fine. And thank you all for the prayers. The family appreciates the prayers.
Amen. And on mm-hmm. that note, we are going to pray again. Hallelujah. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just first and foremost, I want to thank you for everything that we have heard on this morning, Lord. I thank you for the precious and anointed servant leaders that are present. I thank you for all the listeners that are present, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that they were as blessed as to receive as I was to share, oh God. Now, Lord
yes,
God, we
Jesus.
Come right now continuing to lift up your servant leader, your servant,
yes.
Minister Gladys and her family, Lord God. This
yes.
is one of those times, Lord, when it just feels like one bad thing after another continues to happen. But, Lord, we are going to live your holy word right now. We're going to just
yeah.
stop and give you some praise, God, because
oh,
we
yeah.
know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever think to ask. We know, Lord God, that
yeah.
there is healing in your name. There is power in
oh,
your
yeah.
blood, Lord God. And
yeah.
we know that you can do whatever is needed for one of your own.
Yes.
So, Lord, we
yes.
lift up the family. We lift up those
yes.
that will be coming from far away, those that are,
oh,
are
God.
Right there,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
We pray that you would just strengthen them, and love and reconciliation would be the ties that bind, Father God.
Oh, God, yes.
And, Lord, we
yes.
pray that in all of our situations, you would use it for your glory. We pray that you would
yes,
use
Lord.
Minister Gladys, and that you would use Apostle
yes,
Zeta,
Jesus.
Hallelujah, to glorify
yes,
you in a way, even in this.
Yes, Jesus. Oh,
that
yes,
they
Lord.
Might come running asking what they must do to be
yes.
saved, oh, God.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
Come this morning. Hallelujah. Lifting up every mother that prays for her their children. Lifting
everyone.
Up every father that prays for their wives
everyone
and prays
does.
For their children. Hallelujah. We come this morning lifting up those who stand in the gap for others. Thank you for those intercessors.
Yes.
Thank you for those praying
Lord,
servant
yes,
leaders,
Lord.
Oh God.
Yes.
We praise you today, oh God, because we know
yes.
that you are mighty
Lord,
and
yes.
that you can do all things but fail.
Yes,
Lord, we just pray
yes,
that
Lord.
In the days and weeks and months to come, that the McGee family and all families who might be in mourning at this time
right.
will
yes.
still be able to rejoice in you, will still
yes,
be able to
Jesus.
Say hallelujah anyhow,
yes, yes,
will still
yes.
be able to go out and tell somebody else who you are, will go out and be able
Do
to
it,
demonstrate
yes.
your grace.
Yes, Lord.
And love on others even when they might not be feeling so loved, Lord.
Yes, yes.
So, Lord, I come right now not only praying for Minister McGee and Minister Tina, Lord, I pray for every servant leader of the Spirit Alive family. Lord, I
Everyone,
thank you
Lord.
That you have given them all hearts after your own. I thank you for
yes.
their compassion. I thank you for their humility.
Yes.
I thank you for their
thank
obedience,
you.
Oh God. I thank you
thank
for
you,
their
Jesus.
Demonstration of love and unity.
Yes. yes
I thank
Lord.
You, Lord,
yes.
that you that they are
yes.
striving to be the church as if you designed it to be.
Yes.
Lord,
oh,
pour into their ministries. Pour into their books,
yes.
Lord. Let the Holy Spirit
yes,
write their
Lord.
Books, oh God. Pour
yes,
into their new
Jesus.
Churches,
yes.
their new homes, Father
oh,
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Send the people. Send
Jesus.
Help. Send the laborers,
Send
oh God.
Yes,
so that they can do continue
yes,
to do the great work that you have
oh,
started
God.
In them.
Yes.
Lord, I'm glorifying you now. Because I know that great change is coming.
Oh,
great
yes.
change is coming because
oh,
those
yes,
of us that truly love you, Lord, we are determined. The only resolve that we have is that we are
That's
going
right.
to live unapologetically for you. That we're going
Amen.
To worship you in everything that we say and in everything that we do. We are going to die
yes.
to self daily. We're going to listen
yes.
to your Holy
Jesus.
Spirit. We're not going to seek any kind of glory, anything,
right.
Lord, except to one day be able to walk in your joy, walk into
Hallelujah.
Your joy, sit down at your
yes.
table, Lord God,
yes,
and sup with you. Drink
yes.
wine with you, just as you declared in your
yes,
holy
God.
Word.
Oh, God.
And, Lord, I just want to thank you for all of our listeners, Lord. I pray,
yes.
Lord God, and we come against every stronghold. We counsel
Everyone.
Out. We rebuke. We pull down
yes.
every negative thing that
yes.
would try to come against them, oh, God.
Yeah.
We pray that as Pastor Vanessa has prayed, we pray that you give them the courage, the strength, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding
yes.
that
yes,
you are
Lord.
God. And you are God all by yourself, Lord.
Yes,
so
yes.
we just thank you now. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we do pray it all. Let the church of God say amen and amen again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thanks to God, you
Glory.
Have indeed been listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. And we are just so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to not only just come and sit with us, hallelujah, but to come
mm-hmm.
and sup with us, hallelujah.
Glory.
So we just pray that that you will continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network tomorrow.
Mm, yes.
Oh, if you look, let me tell you, you need to mark your calendar. or you need to remind yourself right now to tune in tomorrow night for Pastor Vanessa and Bishop Lester Carver's awesome teachings and program, God's Great Love for Us. I tell you, they come straight from the hip with it. They come deep. They come precept upon precept. And I'm telling you, you are sure to receive a blessing. And if you don't get enough, a bishop on Monday night, go ahead on and listen to him on Tuesday evening for his Tuesday night teaching.
Thank you.
And
Jesus.
This Wednesday, we're inviting all the ladies, all of our sisters to come out, because we want to sit around and have a good old mind-seeking discussion, you know, about
mm.
how we can better serve one another as women, what we should
yeah.
be teaching, why it should be taught, from what perspectives
yeah.
it should be taught. So if you are one of our, so all of our sisters, if you have been wanting to hear something taught, especially for you, and you just haven't been hearing it being taught, then tune in on Wednesday and let us know so that we can change that in the upcoming year. And on Thursday, Pastor Vanessa will be back with us all again as she brings her dynamic program, Wounded No More. And she has been teaching on forgiveness of one side and down the other. And that's something it can't be taught enough. So I just want you
right.
to know that we are glad. And on Saturday, this Friday, we're going to give we're all giving ourselves a break. Hallelujah. And then on Saturday, you can pick right back up and get your weekend started right with Minister Adam Tuggle on the summit. So on behalf
Amen.
Of myself,
Amen.
Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Minister Tina Brown, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and our anointed Bishop Lester Carver, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Be ye transformed,
Amen.
Family. Have a beautiful rest
you,
of your day. God bless you.
Amen.
You,
you too.
Love you, family.
Yeah.
God bless you. We sing you.
Beautiful sermon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.